Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
We live in a world where supplements are everywhere. But here's the question. When you pop that pill, how do you really know what you're getting? Joining me now is Professor John Nolan. He's Chair for Human Nutrition Research at Waterford Institute of Technology to explore what's actually in the little bottles we buy in good faith. Welcome to the programme, John. This is something that I, up until the age of 40-something, didn't give a damn about. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting supplements everywhere. Everyone wants me to take supplements. So maybe you might just start off with that. What do we need for our bodies to remain healthy as we age?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of pieces to that question. And, you know, we need a lot as we age. That's the first direct answer. There's a lot we can do and a lot we should do. And supplements are certainly part of that. But then it's understanding what we actually need, how we should source it, and, you know, what's tested, what's safe, what's effective. So it's quite a broad question. But ultimately, you know, there's two reasons why we do need to kind of change our lifestyles, change our diets, and indeed focus on certain supplements. And one reason is that we're living longer. You know, we're a very growing population, but also a very aging population. And that's wonderful, but it's only wonderful if it's wonderful. And it's only wonderful if we have healthy functions to allow us enjoy our age.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at 25 years now after kind of studying how general nutrition can help with diseases like macular degeneration and so on. Really, there are supplements that we should know about. There are supplements that health systems should be aware of and utilize carefully. And it should be built on evidence-based and scientific testing.
Yeah, I totally agree. When we and this space is rife with misinformation, right? But when we think about even just vitamins themselves, like what is a vitamin? Is it just a functional molecule, or is there a broader definition of that?
It's very broad. I mean, a vitamin by definition is something that you need to take because you don't have it, or maybe you can make it in your body, but ultimately it's something that you need to take from the outside, these essential vitamins at least. And they typically help us with, like, living, with energy, with, you know, cell repair, cell protection. You know, the nutrients I work with, which are carotenoids, are like, We call these antioxidants, which are basically, you know, that inside sunscreen that lives in our eye and lives in our brain. So, you know, we need vitamins. The ideal scenario, Jonathan, is that we source from, you know, whole foods. And, you know, I said there was two reasons why we need to supplement. And I said one was because we're aging. The other is because, unfortunately, the foods that we're consuming today are deficient in a lot of these vitamins. And in our case, definitely deficient in carotenoids. And we know why that is. And we know that this is a big problem.
Is that due to the quality of the food or the types of food, like the ultra-processed food that reduces any nutritional content?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first thing I'd say is we've some wonderful farming exercises in Ireland. We produce high quality food. We're a great country to do that. Getting society access to that in an affordable way is one of the challenges. You know, when you and I go to the supermarket, are we actually buying foods that are, you know, Irish made, Irish grown, and that are produced in a way that these vitamins, as you call them, or these antioxidants are there in enough concentrations that they can have a benefit for us? And one of the reasons why that isn't the case is when you farm a food, when you make it easy for a plant to grow, it suppresses, it reduces the amount of these good vitamins or carotenoids that are present. So because the reason why they're produced in plants in the first place is to protect the plant grow in difficult and normal and natural environments. The second you change that, it suppresses the amount that are produced.
So it doesn't need it.
It doesn't need it. It's a nutritional devolution. You know, I think there's data out now from the US Department of Agriculture that shows that over a 50-year period, the differential in terms of the total nutritional value from, say, an example of food being a spinach, is 43 times. So that means we would have to have today 43 times more portions of spinach to get the same nutritional value as we did 50 years ago.
What?
That's how quick this is devolving. It's remarkable.
John, that can't be right.
It's absolutely right.
Oh,
the data is very
God.
Clear.
And that's not just spinach then. The spinach that we get is very different to the spinach that I grew up on, for sure. The spinach you get in the shops. But are you saying that would be the case of the oranges we buy from Spain, the, you know, the bananas we get and all that? The because they're so easily farmed, they're not as good for us as wilder versions of these fruits might be?
I mean, if again, I speak to my area of interest and expertise, that is the use of carotenoids. And carotenoids are produced in plants to help plants grow in different environments. When you isolate and when you speed the rate at which the plant grows, or when you reduce the negative impact of environment, light and stresses and so on, you make it easy for that plant to grow, and it we get big plants that have less nutritional value.
So yeah. Look, what about this? I mean, look, I know this is, you know, very much going outside of your area, but the sweetness of fruits, the lack of bitterness or anything, is that any effect on the nutrition?
All absolutely connected. All absolutely. I'm just back from Mexico, actually, where the source of the carotenoids we get comes from a plant called a marigold plant, Cempasúchil, they call it in Mexico. And actually, you mentioned bitter, like the smell, you touch the plant, you can feel it, you can smell it. It's alive, it's real, and the carotenoids are part of that. You know, we're not. And look, I'm a nutritional professor, so I run a center called a nutrition. I have to really emphasize here that I am promoting plant-based foods. I am promoting a total diet of all types. I'm not saying that we don't need to eat food. I am. But I'm saying it's not without its challenges, you know.
No, I think you're articulating that perfectly. So let's talk about vitamins then. Like, obviously, there's a whole list of vitamins that are on the back of, your flipping cornflakes. But actually, what sort of vitamins do we really need to maintain health? And can we get these from supplements?
Yeah, I mean, we can. So general vitamins that we need to maintain health, you know, I'm a big fan of vitamin C, but I think we can get enough of that. You made reference to oranges. So I think those type of foods are great. In terms of the supplements, my area of study relates to these nutrients called carotenoids. And they're fascinating. There's 700 of these carotenoids in nature. But we only consume, Jonathan, about 50 of these in a typical diet, about 20 in our blood system. And by the time you get to the back of the eye, a part of the eye called the retina, we upregulate, we concentrate these carotenoids, but only three of them. They're called lutein, zeaxanthin, and mesozeaxanthin. So the body has selected from 700 in nature, or if you like, from 50 that it has access to in the diet, to upregulate and concentrate three of these. And these are called the macular pigments, lutein, zeaxanthin, and mesozeaxanthin. And we don't get enough of these from standard food. We're about 20 times away, based on our data, that over 20 years of work. So we need to get it from a supplement. So there are supplements available. We work with industries in Mexico and America, and we've been able to test in human clinical studies different types of supplements. So we use MacuPrime here in Ireland, and it's really, really effective at rebuilding the protective macular pigments in the back of the eye. For the eye, it's fascinating.
Just to be clear, you're not connected in any way to that company?
No. I work at the university, and the university does have a relationship. It licenses out the intellectual property for use, which is great. It's successful for the university to do that. But it also means, the good thing about that is that, and this is one of the points in terms of supplements, they're not all the same. And my advice would be that when a consumer, a patient or a doctor, you know, decides to take or make a recommendation for a particular supplement, that it does so with evidence base. So is a particular supplement formula tested in the exact formula tested? Is it effective? Is it safe? And then is it stable, which is another piece we should talk about.
Yeah, I mean, if I take, you know, a pill and it's got a multivitamin mix of a whole bunch of things, is there any science to suggest that that all of those vitamins go where they're supposed to go?
Well, think of your blood system as a taxi system. And if you flood your stomach with supplements and you've too many of a one type of supplement, you can actually become deficient in another antioxidant or another vitamin that you need. These vitamins compete with each other for transportation in our blood system. So, yes.
Oh, do they?
100%.
Right.
I have data on this, that even with carotenoids, if you take too much of, say, beta-carotene, you can become deficient in other carotenoids. And that's why you need the studies to show that you don't create an imbalance with other. I'm actually against multivitamins, because you can't know, to your point, what every active ingredient is doing and its effectiveness. And I think that, you know, I much prefer to make a recommendation about supplements when it's targeted. You know, we work with carotenoids, we work, and they're located in the eye and the brain. And we work with omega-3 fatty acids, which I think are a great supplement, which is sourced normally from fish. But again, we're just not getting anywhere near enough omega-3 in normal diets today, particularly a compound called DHA, which comes from fish oils, which are highly effective for eye health and brain health.
But John, these products are being sold to consumers who are trying to maintain health in their, you know, typically middle age and older age, but I know younger people take supplements as well. Surely they have to meet some sort of scientific test to show that they have efficacy before they can be sold in shops.
I'm delighted you asked that question. And, you know, I'm positive. We actually have a full PhD program looking at this exact question. And what I'll say to you, Jonathan, is you and I could decide today to set up a food supplement company, and we could decide we want, let's say, a multivitamin or a carotenoid supplement, and we could find a supplier to give us the raw material. We could encapsulate it. We could label it. Then what we have to do is provide data to the Food Safety Authority in Ireland. But that particularly looks at labelling. So, you know, that you're not making claims that are, you know, so you can't say it helps eye health if there's not a health claim, for example. So there, we have regulation around labelling, but there's no real, exclusion that, you know, you can sell something that doesn't have efficacy. Efficacy demonstration is not a requirement to sell supplement, and I believe it should be.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, it should be.
Couldn't we just swallow something and then it come out the other end, having given us no benefit, but technically it did have the thing in it, and that would legally be a supplement you could sell?
Correct. Well, vitamin C is an example of that. You know, you can take too much vitamin C, and where do we see it? We see it when we go to the bathroom. That's a water-soluble vitamin. So that's very easily absorbed, but it goes straight through our system and has given us very little benefit in very high amounts.
But we do get the vitamin C from the 100% that we need from the drink or whatever, right?
Yeah, well, you get more than it because your urine is yellow.
But I'm happy with that, though. I mean, like, that's, you know, that's a vitamin that works, but like...
Yeah, that's a good vitamin.
So, are there specific things that we should take? Like, if I were entering my 50s, which I absolutely want to say I'm not, but if I were entering my 50s soon, are there specific supplements that you would recommend that we take?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you what I take. I'm 45 now, and I take carotenoids and omega-3 fatty acids. Now I have.
I knew you were going to take carotenoids. Yeah. I had to say, yeah. I would have guessed that one.
Yeah, they're a super supplement.
But what about blueberries? Do I not get carotenoids for them?
You certainly do, and other foods, like when you eat tomatoes, you get a wonderful carotenoid called lycopene, or when you eat carrots, you get a very important carotenoid called beta-carotene. So again, I'm totally for all these wonderful foods, but if we want to target the health of the eye, because we're living longer and because our foods don't contain enough, we need to look at supplements that contain carotenoids. One of the problems, though, is there's not all supplements are the same. Yeah. And back to your point about, you know, how easy it is in terms of, I think there's two things you need. You need supplements that have a clinical evidence base.
Yeah.
So have they been tested, that particular formula? And the second thing you need is does it have a quality program? And this is where I have a conflict of interest, because through our university, again, we set up an organization called Supplement Certified. And the reason why we did that is I was shocked in my own research to see that about 70% of the supplements that are being sold in health stores and pharmacies and so on today will not meet their label claim. So they may claim that they have X amount of a particular vitamin.
What?
70% are failing label claim. And I have categorical analytical data on that demonstrates it.
So you're saying I'm buying a product in the shop, it's saying it has something on the label, and 70% of the things that we're buying don't meet the requirements that they claim. Surely that's against the law.
Absolutely, in terms of carotenoids and omega, this is where I have the heavy data. That is the case. Is it against the rule? Well, that's what the PhD is looking into at the moment.
Right.
You know, it's a grey area. you know, of course, regulation expects you to tell the truth, but it's almost self-regulated. So again, back to your and I analogy, what do we need to trade? We need to get a cert of analysis from the supplier that says they're sending us X milligrams of particular vitamin. Yeah. And we'll provide that and that will tick a box and off you go. The problem is, you know, these supplements are, they'll degrade as soon as you take them out of the plants. They're not protected anymore. So the formulation piece is crucial to that.
Yeah, and I know that for medicine as well. Professor John Nolan, Director of the Nutrition Research Centre at Waterford Institute of Technology, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
It strikes me as funny, though, that when I think about it, I can't think of a marketing campaign or an advertising campaign that's made a big brouhaha about the clinical trials or efficacy of a particular supplement. Now, there absolutely could be companies out there who have done clinical trials, but that to me would be a big, you know, separator to say, look, we've done clinical trials, we can prove that this raises the vitamin C in your body and that this this pill will actually do something. That seems to me to be something kind of important, doesn't it? The fact that, you know, not all of these companies are saying that kind of makes me feel a bit funny. Your comments on that, please, if you want to talk to us about the supplements you are taking, how much you're taking, so you can email us, science@newstalk.com.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on Newstalk.